press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
It's...
Exactly.
The way it feels like it's been 100 years since we've done one of these, but I'm feeling so ready to twin talk it out.
Me too. We've been pretty good. We've been doing like 3 episodes with guests and then twin talks. So this could be the new schedule going forward.
Well, Dylan, this is only our 7th one this year. So I would say we've done every other month, I guess, if we're being technical. There was that one month we had those booking issues and we were like, oh, we had them very close together. You know,
there's a lot to catch up on already.
There's so much to catch up on. I had such a fun day at work. It was Bat Boys studio press preview where, you know, the cast and all of them have been in rehearsal for literally 7 days. But this is where the press comes in, you know, all the Broadway.coms, the Playbill.coms, the Broadway Worlds, the Broadway Plus, the Picnic Playlist with Carly Eichner, the Ashley Huffords. They all come in and they film performances. And the cast of Bat Boy did Hold Me, Bat Boy and 3-Bedroom House. And then as part of my job, I got to interview the cast and stuff. It was so cool. Dylan, this is like an Avengers of musical theater cast.
Encores tends to be, Connor.
But this is the gala.
This is the gala, which last year was Ragtime.
It was.
And the year before was?
Parade.
Parade? Okay.
Yes.
So?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, do with that as you will. Do with that as you will.
People love to, I don't know if it's because of the nature of Broadway favorites coming together for a much loved show, but everyone loves to tease a City Center production transferring.
I think that it's become a trend. And I obviously, you're on the inside now. And for listeners, for full transparency, I genuinely do not ask you these questions.
You
normally.
Don't.
There's so many other things that you and I talk about all the time. And TBH in the back of my brain, I just assume it tends to be like one encore production a year that ends up making it to Broadway.
Yeah. Or I guess more so the gala. But yeah, I know it's so fun. I mean, who knows? I'm saying this on the, I probably sound stupid saying this on the podcast, but like, we don't know anything either. Like what show is going to move or not.
Well, right, because you're only responsible for the show that's happening at your place of employment. It's not like if it were to transfer or, for example, when now that Ragtime is transferred, it's not like you all at City Center are a part of that production unless there's some other role.
Right, right, totally. But it's been so fun, y'all. Listeners, I encourage you to go see Bat Boy. If you're under the age of 40, we have something called Access Club at City Center where you can get a $28 ticket to actually any performance of anything that is at City Center. But this show, you're not going to want to miss it. I mean, I haven't even seen it yet, but I'm telling you, the vocals are down. The comedy is down. This show has not been seen in a New York stage in almost 25 years, and it has been reworked and redone all throughout the last 2 decades, all over the world.
Has it had any major productions since that off-Broadway run?
It has. There was a London production several years ago where they added some new songs. They rewrote a lot of the book and changed a lot of lyrics. So this version of Bat Boy will have 3 new songs. Plus, they've rewritten a lot of lyrics and clarified a lot of the storytelling. And I think it's going to be really good. So anyway, that was a fun day for me.
Exciting. It's exciting to me that you get to interact with so many of our friends of the pod in real life. And at this point, you know, we're coming up on 6 years. We've had so many amazing guests. And obviously, we have that little buy-in of extra excitement whenever they show up on a cast list. But Taylor Trench is leading this. Newer friends of the pod like Christopher Sieber and Marissa Jarrett Winoker from the last year are in it. And Andrew Durant. Am I missing any?
You are not. But of course, there's people in this cast who we've gone back and forth with about doing the podcast for, you know, like Carrie.
T.
Like Alex.
Yeah.
You know, different people throughout the years. So
some have come for us on TikTok.
Yeah. Oh my God, wait, Dylan.
I'm kidding. We got to cut.
No. I love that we're keeping more stuff in lately because it is causing funny discourse in, you know, the correspondences that we're having, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Eagle-eared listeners,
Eagle,
as we often call them.
Absolutely. Sometimes they have to wait till the end to hear the tea.
Right.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
I think
That must have been a loud noise
I think
outside.
you just bumped the desk with your knee.
It's possible. But I just want to explain, there was a cut here in this episode, y'all. For those who are part of our Drama Plus, where there's bonus episodes, you know that I am instilled with the spooky season spirit of lately. But I just experienced what could only be described as a fright. It sounded like either a door was slamming or something was dropping in a different room in my apartment. And I am alone right now. So I'm a little spooked. I'm putting that out there for the record.
Well, now I'm scared.
Anyway, so spooky season is in full effect. Bat Boy feels like a spooky season vibe that's occurring right now. I know we've been talking to a lot of different friends and even some podcast guests about Halloween and costume ideas. I have to say mine is a Broadway costume.
Ooh, okay. Can you teach? I know the grand reveal will be on Halloween night itself.
Yes. Well, actually, it'll be this Saturday night.
Oh, shoot.
October 26th. But
that's right. Okay. Because of the way Halloween is falling this year, there are festivities across calendars.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm so right. excited. Dylan, I've only seen that one Snapchat of you trying on an outfit. So I am like, I'm going to be gagged. You honestly, you bring comedy to your Halloween costumes, Dylan, in ways like when you were Grimace.
Listen, some gays go for the sexy. Some gays go for the comedy. I say that's the biggest difference between you and me. You know, you like to do the little flirtier version of Halloween, and I go for the more gaggy. But that picture that was sent to you of me trying on the costume, I laughed at myself when I saw it personally because it reminded me of when a queen is on Drag Race and you see them in the fitting for the costume and they have like no mug on, no wig on, or maybe a funny version of the wig on, and they're just like sort of like a flat Stanley in the costume. That was me. Here's the hint that I'll give. I'm shaving my face. It is from a Broadway show in the last season. And I am going in drag for the first time in my life. For Halloween, I should say.
I was going to say, Dylan, you have done drag before in private.
And that's not to say that you and I haven't dabbled with wigs. I mean, all of our friends have.
Who doesn't love a good wig?
But I don't think putting on a wig is the same thing as doing drag. But then, granted, RuPaul says we're all born naked and the rest is drag. So maybe
that's
we're
so
all in drag
true.
All the time.
Oh, my God. You've got me thinking I want to change my costume now to something more fun.
Well, do you have Halloween plans? Do you have enough plans that elicit multiple costumes? Because Hunter and I are doing like two or three different looks.
Two or three?
Mm-hmm.
I'm only doing one on Halloween night.
So nothing this upcoming weekend.
No, nothing Halloween themed this weekend. I do have like plans, but no parties or whatever. So
Of course. I wasn't insinuating for a second that you wouldn't have plans, of course. Listen, something else is going on this week that's sort of like what's going to happen is this musician strike. Are you like keeping your finger on the pulse of this potential Broadway strike?
I am. I definitely am. And I hope things go in their favor because enough's enough. Time's up.
Yeah. So basically, the musicians are, their previous contract expired earlier this year, and they're just trying to increase their wages, get some better healthcare, income security, seems about normal things. But the Broadway League is being difficult. And, you know, there was just the Actors' Equity possible strike that occurred. And so hopefully this follows in the same vein as that. But if not, every single musical on Broadway will not occur except for one. The aforementioned Ragtime, which follows some different contract.
Yes. And actually, to that point, Ragtime, Beetlejuice, and Mamma Mia.
Oh, all three. Okay.
Because Beetlejuice and Mamma Mia are on touring contracts, even though they're in Broadway houses with Broadway prices.
Yes. I've been following
a Broadway schedule.
I've been following that conversation a little bit. And I'm grateful once again for some of the prominent Broadway voices for speaking out. But again, it's very hard to go up against Goliath. But hey, in Newsies, they did it.
Wow.
Isn't it so funny that like so many musicals are about championing the underdog? So many Broadway stories are about fighting like the good fight. And it's inherently built into these capitalistic systems and all of these systems that are red tape sort of built around all of these practices.
No, it's crazy, actually, when you think about it. Like a Newsies and then Disney is like this monopoly. It's like Wicked. And then it's like, okay, you're Universal. Anyway, I hope that a fair agreement is reached for the musicians.
Period.
And, you know, we don't want anybody out of work, but if striking is what is going to have to happen to get people paid fairly, which I have always been a huge advocate for.
Oh, you have.
I think maybe a strike has to happen. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there was the writer's strike last year that had to happen
Wow.
to protect largely from AI. And now we got Miss Tilly Norwood trying to step into the scene.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, I'm publicly anti-AI. It's scary as hell.
You've been, not publicly, but on our Patreon, you've been questioning and curiously sort of poking holes in this whole AI thing. And obviously, a lot of our listeners probably use it in their daily lives. I am always shocked when it comes up socially and people casually reveal how much they rely on it in their daily life.
No, it has become so scary to me. Like, we were at a wedding a few weeks ago. Somebody told me that they use ChatGPT to write all of their work emails. When I'm in the office, when I'm around people in life, I'm more frequently hearing people say, oh, I'll ask chat instead of let me Google it.
Connor, that was said today in a work meeting. Someone said, I would tell you to Google it, but now it's, I guess, ChatGPT it.
I know. Which, why are we trusting ChatGPT? Remember when you used to be able to search in Google a question and then articles came up? Well, now Google AI pops up these largely inaccurate summaries.
You kind of have to rifle through it. I don't know, that's the thing is like in the time that you have to put something into one of these bots to then spit something back out, and then you have to review it and tweak it. Couldn't you have just written it in the first place? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it takes less than 30 seconds to write most emails, unless it's like a pitch or a proposal
Yeah.
or whatever your line of work might be. So it is troubling. And I will say this, I do work for a large, I work for a university. And so we have been sort of had to start integrating it into a lot of the work that we do. And it isn't in a replacing the work that we do type of way. It's more so for like organizational purposes. So
Yeah, I think
I, as a writer by trade, and I know you also are a writer and doing social media, it is scary to think a robot could probably write 12 versions of a tweet better than you. But for now, we need to keep our brains working and practicing. You publicly rally against ChatGPT. You also have been on one recently about the changing face of celebrities.
oh my God, Dylan, that was going to be my dose of drama.
Oh, really?
Okay, what is going on with filler, Botox, facelifts, bleph removals, nose jobs, everything, lip flips, eye
I don't know what a
tape?
bleph is.
It's where you get your bags removed from under
Oh my
your
God.
eyes, which is what
You
Bradley Cooper had done. If you
can
look at his
look.
face, yeah, and it can
Great.
obviously de-age you if you're getting it done at the right time. But if you're doing it at Bradley Cooper's big age, you're gonna look scary.
And you've got Emma Stone looking a little bit different now.
Totally different.
Although
Well,
that's
she.
up for debate because then there was other photos from that same event where she looked pretty normal.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird. I feel like celebrities are not doing themselves any favors. I think what we should try to remember, this is kind of where I'm at with getting stuff done. Obviously, do whatever you wanna do. It's your life, it's your body, it's everything. But Botox? Good. Filler, bad. Olivia Jade,
Yeah.
Lori Loughlin's daughter, she looks 40. She's 26 because she had all that filler put into her cheeks. It's scary.
Ryan Seacrest has the Willem Dafoe face now, and Willem Dafoe's face just looked like that normally. But Ryan Seacrest
I
looks like he had the, is it called buccal or buccal fat? I don't even know.
think it's buckle.
Removed. And then it looked like cheek filler. So now he has just these giant chipmunk cheeks with a
It's not
hollowed out
making.
mouth.
Right. It's not making people look younger. Filler is aging people like crazy. And also, the facelifts are too severe. You know, RuPaul famously said, you get your first lower lift at 40 and then the full lift at 50. And I think we all have to just remember that. Celebrities now, like allegedly Anne Hathaway, allegedly
Well, Lisa Barlow.
Lisa Barlow. Well, Heather Gay definitely got one, but she's over 40. People are getting facelifts and stuff much younger. And that's one way to go about it, I guess. But I don't think you have to do the whole face. I really don't. Also, I'm scared that we're going to be losing the recipes of what humankind looks like. And AI and cosmetic enhancements to one's body and AI are kind of like two sides of a similar coin for me here, where it's people in society today just want fixes to everything in such a big way. They want to be told how to write their emails. They want to change their entire face instead of just like taking care of their health. Maybe you don't need the neck lift. Maybe you should take a step back for a second.
I agree with you, and especially because people aspire to then look like what those celebrities. It reminds me of in the Hunger Games, how in the capital everyone looks a certain way, and then the rest of the districts they look normal, except for Jayla, who had worked on throughout those movies. But
I think she also had a little something done too, but anyway.
probably the idea of like losing the recipes, I take comfort only in the fact that the original recipes remain anywhere not in a big city. So like if you even here in Ohio in many areas, if you go across the country, old people still look old. Everyone still has their own genetic makeup. I think it's different because you and I watch all these reality shows. You live in New York City. We're obsessed with the entertainment industry, so we're seeing it constantly. I think the majority of people still do look normal for now.
That's comforting to hear. You're right, Dylan. You're right. Okay. We have been diving into so many different things. Are there any hot topics we need to get to this week?
Well, I'm dying to know how Oh Mary was because you got to see it for the third or fourth time over the weekend with its new star.
Yes. Oh my God. It is in tip-top shape. Jane Krakowski was unbelievable. She is just like one of the best performers we have. I mean, I love her so much. I was thinking to myself, like, God, I'm so happy I got to see her and she loves me. And then I remembered I didn't see her and she loves me.
Right. She had some family stuff going on at the
Yeah. I
time.
think because like we saw it and then like a week later they released it on PBS and everyone
Right.
was watching it anyway. So like, oh, we technically saw that performance, but she's just born for the stage. I wish that I could have seen her in Here We Are.
Yes, she did it in the West End.
Yeah.
That is great casting. She can do no wrong, but I will say I see notes. She has that specific essence that she sort of carries across her characters. Like I've been making my way through 30 Rock over the last like year and a half very slowly and obsessed with Jenna Maroney, who reminds me a lot of her character and Kimmy Schmidt, of course.
Yeah. And her character from Ally McBeal is also similar to
Oh
all of
yeah.
them.
See, she, yeah.
Yeah. Like she even like sang a lot, but no, she's unbelievable. No one will ever top Cole Escola for me as Mary Todd. Jane came pretty close. She came pretty
Wow.
close.
Well, I heard a lot of people said that about Jinx.
Okay. I'm so sad I miss Jinx.
Oh, Mary has the waitress effect now, where it's this demand of every time some new lead steps in. And I think that you and I were very fatigued from the pie shop after a while. I think we went 7 or 8 times to see Waitress over the course of those years that it was open pre-COVID. And so, I mean, the temptation, of course, was there. I mean, we've been in town. You've been living in New York to see Titus. Jinx, and who knows, maybe they'll all return and it's at
Yeah,
some point.
I could see that. I could see Jinx going back in like January, maybe after the Christmas show wraps.
Yes.
Anyway, no, it was so good. And I have to give a shout out to John Andrew Morrison, who's playing Mary's husband, aka President Abraham Lincoln. He was unbelievable. I was so taken with him and his portrayal that he kind of stole the show for me.
Wow.
He is so funny. And what I loved about him was, I'll just say it, he wasn't shouting the whole time. And sure, there's a form of comedy that yelling is like funny. Audiences tend to love that. I've never loved that. He's not doing that. It is so good. I will say, and this is a spoiler for Oh Mary. So if you have not seen it, pause this. He made the president a lot gayer earlier. So it wasn't so much a gag when some of those moments happen throughout. So I'll just say that there, but it didn't make me, again, I told you, he almost stole the show for me. Obviously, love Jane. She's unbelievable, but he's so fabulous. I have to just give a shout out.
Oh, I love it. He's also back at the Lyceum where he was Tony nominated for A Strange Loop. I mean, there's a reason he was Tony nominated for A Strange
Yeah.
Loop because he was a
Wow.
genius in that show.
Forget that that was there.
Yeah, I think it's odd for a musical to be there when it feels like such a playhouse.
Why do I always think that A Strange Loop was at where maybe Happy Ending is?
Same side of
I
Broadway.
guess so.
But, interestingly enough, Strange Loop was the first best musical to win at the Lyceum, and maybe Happy Ending was the first best musical to win at the Belasco.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's not very many left theaters left that have yet to have a best musical winner
Okay.
in them. But whenever they're nominated, I always look at my little list and I'm like, oh, you never know. History
Oh
might
my
happen.
gosh.
Maybe this year it'll be at the Longacre with two strangers.
You know what? I think it could.
It's definitely a contender.
Yeah.
Considering the low number of new musicals that are entering this Broadway season, it's anyone's game at this point.
Is there any out of town or famous workshop type show that's coming to Broadway this year. Like last year we had Boop. We had Smash, which famously didn't perform out of town, but did have those presentations and workshops and stuff.
Right.
Can you think of anything that had like an out of town tryout that's coming this year?
I can think of one that was supposed to come, and it was that Dolly musical. But I believe because of Ms. Parton's health that it's just on sort of a pause.
Remind me if I'm like totally wrong here. Did Lost Boys play out of town?
No.
Okay.
It's opening cold on Broadway. It's had a few workshops though.
Yeah.
And I mean, Working Girls at La Jolla right now. And I think I mentioned this, Purple Rain is like heavily rumored to be coming in. So you never know. It'll really depend what closes and what theaters end up being vacant, because Broadway is kind of healthy right now.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. So y'all, we have not done a twin tuck like this in a while.
Right.
But we were kind of thinking, what if you tell us what you want to hear the tea on?
Right. So we put out the call and y'all answered. We're so grateful to everyone who listens and is curious to hear what we have to say. And we did get enough questions that I think we could talk for the rest of this podcast with these alone. So we might have to just cherry pick here. But the first question that we got, I think we need to immediately jump right in because it has to do with Housewives. And it was from Travis. Shout out to Travis, who said, in all caps, Dr. Wendy Iosefo, go.
Oh my God. Can you believe this Dr. Wendy stuff?
I cannot, because she has always been, in my opinion, such a righteous person and always sort of put that out there that she's above everyone with her 4 degrees. For those who don't watch The Real Housewives of Potomac, I'm sure you still saw this news a couple of weeks ago about one of the housewives, Dr. Wendy, and her husband, Happy Eddie, who were arrested on fraud, insurance fraud, in fact.
Yeah, it is so crazy. And it's not just like one count. I think they said there were at least 16 counts.
It's 16 going on 17 for sure. I think Eddie had more.
Oh my God.
Than she did.
And there's an email.
And they're both going to probably go to prison, right?
Okay. That's what people have been saying. But I, of course, am consuming all types of like Housewives media about this.
Well, I was going to ask, because you listen to like Bravo related podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And probably read the blogs.
In fact, it's my whole media diet. It's basically Housewives stuff. But they will definitely have their day in court, because these are big, you know, charges that they've been hit with. There's a chance that they could get a good lawyer that gets them to, you know, like have probation and serve time and pay like tons of money and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which for their children's sake, I hope so. You know, with white collar crimes, it's one of those things where they didn't hurt anybody in this situation. You know, obviously they were defrauding.
Yeah, they were just stupid because they put it all in writing. They were posting pictures with items that they claimed were stolen.
Oh.
That they'd actually maybe even sold back. It's just really dumb. Greed is a disease.
Greed and fame. Because being on these shows, like if you look at Wendy from her first season to her next one, her fashions were just out of control. Not even like stylish, in my opinion. Like she's showing up at like a, you know, a Baltimore strip mall wine bar wearing Balenciaga head to toe. And meanwhile, you got the other girls that are sitting there looking perfectly wonderful and lovely and stylish.
Well, I would, maybe not Giselle, but
you know what? Giselle's going to have the last laugh here. Because she is the star.
She already is.
She has risen above. She's always been totally herself. And she hasn't let fame ruin her sense of reality and her children and her life. Like she's just living her life, like designing her ugly, or, you know, choosing her designs for her home and her fashions and stuff. Like, honestly, I love her so much.
I know you do. You famously did a collaborative promotion with the Shady Questions show that Giselle did.
The 21 Shady Questions, that's right, at the City Woman.
So freaking fun. No, I think that the thing about Wendy is this show, a lot of Housewives shows seem to thrive off of crime and scandal in the last couple of years alone. There's been obviously Jen Shaw and then Karen on the same franchise. The Grand Dame just got released from the clink. And it's going to become a big, probably, storyline going forward for Wendy. But Bravo's already panicking. They removed her from the Watch What Happens Live episode that she was supposed to do. And then her episode of Wife Swap or House Swap was shuffled around in the schedule.
Yeah. First it was pulled, then it was put back on. I do feel bad because of their children, first of all. And second of all, it really is just a tragedy about how like fame and greed inflate your ego and you think you need more, 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 more. And I don't know. I really have always liked Happy Eddie. I haven't loved Wendy. At times I've found her interesting and entertaining. At times, but I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. This season, Potomac is good, though. I think it's been pretty good so far. I'm loving Giselle.
So far watching it, though, I have issues. I'm like, I can't even watch Wendy. Like, it's like, I'm watching her and I'm like, oh, God,
she's a liar.
You're a criminal.
And she's putting up a whole fake life. Not only just in how she, you know, presents herself, like, with her material things, but you're right. Like, how she seems so righteous and, like, holds people to different standards and stuff. Like, she is a fraud.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
And it is good TV, though, ultimately. So
it's
I'm excited
good
to see how it plays out.
Well, we know the cameras got picked up. They picked up. Some of the women have been filming
in the wake
of Wendy's arrest. And
oh, my God. Hopefully Karen was one of them.
I don't know. But I know that Giselle and Ashley certainly were.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me in the least. I mean, I would fire a few of the other wives.
Which
after
ones?
Three episodes alone of this season.
Who do you want
I think
off?
Kiana should have stayed a friend.
Ugh, I know. I don't think she's right for it. She's
it's
cute.
It's like giving like
but
Chihuahua that thinks that they're a big dog and like is trying to like bark and the bark is just weak. And it's just, the content isn't there. She certainly has interesting aspects and elements of her life. I don't find what she's fabricating to be drama as interesting.
I know. And unfortunately, so much of her time on the show has been about being on the show. Her issues with her boyfriend last season were all about how he didn't want to be on the show, didn't want her on the show, et cetera. And now this season, it's about how Wendy wasn't a friend off camera and on. And they're putting it on.
I know. It's very fourth wall breaking. And before that, it was because she was in a physical altercation on the show.
Yeah, my Housewives hot take across all franchises, with the exception of Salt Lake, which ultimately is a show about being on a show, in my opinion. I don't want them to break the fourth wall anymore. I'm fine with them pretending like, oh, the last time we were all together in New York, or, you know what, let's go on a trip. Where should we go? Like, I love those fake setups for like trips and reunions and all that stuff. Like, new to the group, all that. Like, I think it's kind of like charming and funny to me. Like, obviously, we all know they're on reality TV, but when you're making shows about shows to this extent, which again, Salt Lake came out in an era where like it feels like a parody at times. So that's like on its own shelf, which is an incredible shelf. I want them to go back to like faking it a little more.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Especially because I've been watching older franchises over the last couple of years in the same time as watching the new ones. And there's a warmth and a charm to the more back to basics style and less litigation. But speaking of Salt Lake, we did get a question about it from Isaac. Shout out to Isaac, who of course we know who that is. And he asked us to power rank the Salt Lake City cast this season. I think we both can just go in order. You don't need to explain.
Oof. Okay. You want to go first?
I will go first. My number one is Bronwyn. My number two is Angie. Then it's Mary M. Cosby. Then it's Heather Gay. Then it's Brittany. Then it's Wild Rose. Then it's Meredith. Then Lisa.
Whoa, Lisa at the bottom.
Lisa's the crown slipped a lot for Lisa. Yes, she brings a lot of the drama. In fact, the show would probably suffer without her, but I am so over her.
Damn.
Impossible to argue with. So fake, so full of lies. And I need my housewives delusional, but Lisa.
Oh, I know.
It ain't right.
Okay, so I'm similar with you. Okay, I'm gonna go with Angie as my number one. I will put Bronwyn at two because I think she's delivering on personal storyline a lot. And for having a second season, after she was a big star of her first season, I think she's not let it get to her head. Like she's humbled herself a little bit, I think, in season two. And she realized like, okay, I lied about buying the jewelry, all that stuff. Like she's better. And the stuff with her mom is fascinating.
Oh, not messy.
Angie, Bronwyn. I'm going to say Heather Gay, number three, because I feel like Heather is really Greek chorusing for me in a good way this year. And she's really unafraid to mix it up with everyone. I appreciate what she has to say about being an empty nester. So I know I'm explaining here. Oh my God. So I'm going Angie, Bronwyn, Heather. I would probably go some combo of Wild Rose and Brittany next. I'm not sure which. Wild Rose and Brittany for sure. And then... yeah, I guess it goes, I would say Mary, Lisa, Meredith.
Okay.
So and, Meredith was and I have to say,
the end for you.
I love Meredith Marks. I think she is such a fascinating person. She's so interesting to look at. I love just her speech patterns are just out of this world, strange and interesting, but she's not bringing it at all. And they're cutting her scenes and making them flashbacks. It's really weird to me. I mean, it is a big cast, but
I know it is really strange, but she has delivered some of my favorite moments on the franchise. So I would be really sad if she ultimately left. But I do think Brittany has had more going on in her life than Meredith this season. So bump Brittany full time and push Meredith down, knock her down a bridge or two. She doesn't even live in Salt Lake City. And you know, Brittany's kind of my queen. And so I think that
I
she
love
deserves a moment in
her.
the spotlight. She's so funny.
No,
I know we've talked about
I.
this before, how funny she is. But the thing about Meredith is her saying you can leave loudly is still one of the funniest, most dramatic things that I think has ever occurred.
I know, that was so funny. I also loved when, I think it was season two of Salt Lake, when she says, "Do you think the cousins are scared of her? That there's a certain level of fear?" One of the best scenes ever.
So good. One of our most used videos that we'll send and text to each other. It's an incredible show. It is so
Oh.
good. It's appointment viewing. I love it so much. I mean, last week's episode was this whole luncheon where there was like a tarot card reader, and primarily the entire episode took place at this lunch. There were tears, there was yelling, there was credit cards and absolute insanity. It felt like a play.
It was so good. I loved it. I know. I wish I had cable so I could watch it tonight.
And I have to add, you know, I love Britney so much. Her doing some 54 Below solo shows. The first one sold out, second was booked. I was at 54 when Luann had her initial run that birthed her into a cabaret star. And I am feeling history maybe repeating itself a little bit.
I'm feeling Giovanni.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I have chills thinking about this.
And
I mean,
everything
we
that
know
she's
Britney
done
can
on social
sing.
media has been hilarious. Oh, yeah, she can sing.
She played Chris's wife in Miss Saigon,
Is
his
that the
American
name of
wife.
the character? Is her name just Chris's wife?
No, her name is like
It is she?
Helen or Elaine.
Oh yeah, I feel like it is one of those.
No, it's neither.
There was one more Housewives one. Our friend Garrison did write in and said, if y'all aren't watching Real Housewives of London, you need to get a VPN.
Ah.
Okay, listen, I don't have a VPN anymore, but if that means that I can watch it, I mean, obviously you and I would be obsessed with a Real Housewives of London. We're Anglophiles through and through. We love London. We love England. We love the Brits. It's just something we haven't been able to get around to yet.
No, that extra effort for the VPN is what's holding me back.
Yeah,
But
streaming is just
I
so
know.
complicated these days.
I had a dose of drama on an episode that I ended up shelving in one of our interview episodes over the last month or two, where it was going to be, I wish I had a VPN so I could watch Real Housewives of London. But yeah, that's just, it's on the
I
list.
love the idea of a shelved dose of drama.
We've never publicly discussed them, but I will oftentimes come into an episode without a dose of drama, but there's things on my mind, so I'll like write something down, and that's one of them. But it just didn't fit with the guests we were interviewing. I didn't think they'd have anything interesting to think about or say about from that. But maybe I was wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, you never know. Speaking of guests,
Okay.
Daniel wrote in, you always have amazing guests. Well, thank you, Daniel. Who are some of your dream guests? I do love this question all the time because it has changed so much over the years, and we have thankfully had so many of them.
I know. My go-tos from the last year, who I just think like Rachel Zegler would be an amazing guest and that she would love us and we would love her. And I have pitched and pleaded this constantly, but would absolutely love Rachel Zegler on the pod.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at our list that we created when we first started the podcast, and we highlight people as they become part of the drama fam. And we've had so many of them now, which is so fun. But to this day, I still really do want Norbert Leo Butz. I still really want Jonathan Groff. I still want Cynthia Erivo, Jesse Mueller, Sutton Foster. I mean, I know she's controversial as hell, but Patti LuPone. I know she's controversial as hell, Kristen Chenoweth, Idina Menzel, you know, the big ones out there like that. And then it's usually whoever's in a show that we love at the moment, they become a new dream guest, like that you can't predict. Like you always say to me, new stars are born every day on Broadway. And
They
I love
are.
that idea. And, you know, as each season occurs, new people come onto our radar and we're like, oh my gosh, yes, I would love to have.
I know. And I'll just say this, the other dream guest for this season is Lea Michele. We're manifesting it,
Yes.
you know, and Jonathan Groff, of course, too. We've pitched, I think, every press team that has featured either of them in any show, including the Spring Awakening documentary press team. Like, we truly
Yeah.
have tried to book these people, and I think that they would all love us. And the timing just hasn't worked out. So, hopefully, one day.
Yeah.
Hopefully, one day.
But, you know, y'all start tagging your favorite people and sending them DMs and saying, you should go on my favorite podcast, Drama with Connor Dylan McDowell, because putting it on their radar might also help them come in. Like, there have been guests before that have reached out to us and said, I would love to be on your podcast because my friend did it. Or, I saw this clip that went around. You know who you are. But that would be my current dream.
I love how you're like, this is my current list. And it's like everyone we dreamed of from the beginning.
Yeah, I know. So it goes. Okay, so our friend Sophia and Kate both had curiosities about our thoughts on the lion casting in Wicked.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so casting a celebrity voice actor, or maybe they did some CGI, I'm not sure, as the lion, never even crossed my mind. I was just like, oh, they're going to have someone like making lion noises, you know? But of course they're going Wizard of Oz with it, and they're going to have the lion
speak.
But
I did hear we're not going to hear or see Dorothy's face in the movie.
Good.
Or I read that, or John, I think John M. Chu said it in an interview. But obviously it was Coleman Domingo. They announced it via a very interesting video with a lion stuffed animal, or as the kids call them these days, Stuffy. And I love Coleman. He's one of my faves. I love him in every single thing that he's done. Unexpected casting, in my opinion.
I love that we're getting another gay on the cast.
Yeah, why not? Why not? But I do think him being surrounded by stuffed animals was strange. I have to say.
Yeah, totally strange. But how else would we have done it? With a real lion, I guess. Wait, that's just...
It certainly wouldn't have been my first thought. Like, the creative team probably was like, okay, and you're going to be laying or like something in a room with a bunch of lion stuffed animals. It wouldn't have been my first thought.
Well, didn't Peter Dinklage just show up on the red carpet when he did Dr. Delamond?
Ooh, good question. Because that would be
why
the
didn't
other
they just do that?
CGI.
Why do they have to do it? Maybe they're trying to get like more press around it.
Well, what's odd about it, I have to say, is it was like 2 weeks ago. It was John Chu said, someone exciting, an Oscar nominee, is voicing the lion. And then a week later, they announced it. Like, there was no hype. There was no buildup in any way. It was almost like, oh, yeah, we should probably roll this out.
Is Wicked for Good going to be good?
I haven't read anything. Has anyone seen it yet? Like, I don't know if...
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we would know. We would know if there were early reviews. I mean, there's an embargo, but...
But I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, it's going to be good.
Wow. It was almost a year ago I got to go to that early screening, friends and family screening with like Ariana and Cynthia. That was surreal, Dylan. Like, can we for a minute like reflect on that? That was so crazy. Top New
crazy.
York moment.
Where was that at? Like, what New York, what cinema did you see
it? It was at the DGA Theater on 57th and Midtown East vibes. Like, actually, it's like basically right by City Center, which is kind of hilarious. But it's meant for industry screenings. So,
okay.
Yeah. That was so cool.
It is crazy. It was so crazy.
Wicked for Good. Will it be good? Who knows? Okay, so we got a question from Rylan Dalton. Betsy Wolfe being cast in Death Becomes Her. This is Broadway news. I am thrilled.
Big Broadway news. Me too. I love that they're trusting these Broadway divas to step into these roles and they're not already going the celebrity route. Death Becomes Her is a bona fide hit, by the way.
I know. I saw a tweet, LOL, of someone saying, like, it's going to outlive its original cast, which doesn't normally happen anymore. And that really made me think. Yeah, we don't get iconic replacements anymore on Broadway in musicals like this, you know, like at all. So Betsy's going to be great. I'm wondering, is Jennifer Simard going to stay? Who would come in after her? I've seen some online tea. Yeah.
Yeah, people online are dream casting like other former Elphabas. I think since Dee Rossioli is this like the standby for the two leads, I'm hearing dream casting of Stephanie J. Block.
Oh,
in that role, which would be fabulous.
Wow, that would be great. Yeah, we need SJB back on Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities though are endless with these two. Like, name any like amazing diva over the last 20 years and you never like it would probably work really well. Hunter did ask me to include this, a musical that you're needing a revival of.
Interesting. Okay, a musical I'm needing a revival of.
Well, it's been Revival City these last couple of years, but I said it in the Jasmine Forsberg episode, I would love a Carrie revival.
That's a good answer. That is so
on
good.
On Broadway.
Okay. I'm going to be super like random and niche here. Vanity is the musical. I just loved those songs. And I know they did a stage version of it at some point over the last 10 years, but would love to see that on stage. I'm going to regret this answer.
I love that answer because honestly, Connor, I think it was supposed to go to the Lyceum or the Longacre, one of those two theaters.
Or what about a title of show? Do you think that could ever come back?
I feel like it was a very specific moment, especially with the way that the cast were characters in it. I don't think so.
What about, okay, last one that I want a revival of, Avenue Q.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, and one more, In the Heights, which never should have left Broadway. Okay.
I think that would be amazing.
So good. Maybe we need a
I'm
little
sure
more
it's been
time.
discussed. I'm sure it's been discussed.
sure it has too. I'm sure it has too.
I'm proud of us, Connor. Neither of us said Legally Blonde, which is the most basic overwrought answer at this point.
Okay, I don't think we have time for any more questions, but y'all, I just want to say thank you for submitting and sorry that if we didn't get to your question. But if you loved this episode where Dylan and I talk to each other, this is what we do on our Patreon a couple times a month. So if you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, you'll get even more Twin Talk episodes, just like this one. And maybe they're even a little more risque, I should say.
If we bring the
So
drama because the plus means it's plus more drama.
it do be that way. So, Dylan, anything else you want to add before we say goodbye? I gave my dose of drama earlier, which is about cosmetic enhancements on celebrities these days. But do you have
Yeah.
anything you are feeling dramatic about or anything spooky you want to plug? Or...
I feel dramatic about Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard's Instagram post. I don't know if you saw this go around. The caption was cringe beyond belief. Just ChatGPT, I'm just kidding. Google it, y'all, to see what it was. But basically, it was very tone deaf. It was about like spousal murder. And I have to just say, I know everyone loves the two of them. They love Armchair Expert. They love Kristen Bell. I do too. I love her as an actress. I don't engage with either of their personal lives, but everything I've learned about the two of them and their relationship has been forced upon me. But I
Okay.
suppose we force information about housewives upon our listeners. So
That's true.
fair is fair.
Okay, last thing I'll say, and then we're ending this episode, is Kristen Bell also definitely had a facelift and potentially buccal fat removal ahead of filming Nobody Wants This on Netflix. And I listened to a couple episodes of Armchair Expert, and I found Dax Shepard to be so douchey and condescending to his guests that I cannot do it at all anymore. And I'll just leave that there and move on. But anyway, Dylan, this was so much fun. It's time to go now. That's my Patreon sign off.
It is. Well, we are heading into our 6-year anniversary, which is next month. We've already recorded some episodes. They're gaggy. The guests are so fun. In my opinion, they're always fun. But we have so much more in store and an upcoming New York trip for me where we're going to be reunited in the city. So stay tuned, everyone.
Yes, I cannot wait. Y'all, if you're not following us, I'm at Connor McDowell, Dylan's at Dylan McDowell, and we are at The Drama Podcast across all platforms except for TikTok, where we're at The Drama Pod.
Period. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
Drama.